information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Tonight, we care.
Appear to border
and it shows.
The law.
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
Some terrorist being just to steal some money out of Congress?
Their arrest is only the beginning.
We are being lied to by
the government. They were innocent. They have no idea what they're up against.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 216 of Media Monarchy. It's April 29th, 2011, and my name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com, the real monarchy. This week, dueling blessings, Southern Storm certificates and endeavors. Pharaohs, God particles, and Gulf oil whistleblowers, drug planes, x-ray specs, and running on empty, all that and so much more to cover in the world of alternative news and open source intelligence. April 29th, 2011, episode 216 from MediaMonarchy.com. Super hype, super energetic, brand new music from the GO team. Appropriately enough, it's the T-O-R-N-A-D-O, Tornado, from their new record, Rolling Blackouts, which is appropriate as well, my friends. Welcome. You have made it. We have made it. I have made it. We're here at episode 216. It's April 29th. 2011, and my name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups, coming to you live, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, and a huge thanks to the stations that simulcast this show, ZeroPointRadio.com, blasting out terrestrially there in Casper, Wyoming. And thanks to the worldwide home of free speech, revereradio.net. We also thank radio23.org and tragedyandhope.com for their support, and all the other fantastic alternative media communities and outlets that help spread the word about Media Monarchy. FaceSpace, TwitterTube, Gmail, Skype, Media Monarchy is the name on all of them. And we implore you, if you find independent, non-commercial, corporate-free alternative media, please donate, hit the button, top right of the page. And we thank yet again my man Brian in Missouri, and all of you guys support, monetary or otherwise, help keep this rocking. And we are the real monarchy, my friends. We glance at the news right now. Republicans label royal wedding a PR stunt. That would be the UK Republicans. Obama surveys Alabama storm damage, offers condolences to victims. And is Donald Trump really the GOP frontrunner? Those are the top three stories as we glance at Google News right now again on this April 29th morning, 2011, episode 216. The royal rituals have begun, my friends. As we have been discussing over the last few weeks, another strange confluence of events. We have the royal wedding. We have the Endeavor shuttle launch in just a couple of hours as I speak to you now. That ties in Giffords and Loeffner. We have the papal beatification and all sorts of other interesting, horrible anniversaries. And so the twilight language and the copycat effect and the synchro mysticism, whatever you want to call it, is all right here. I don't claim to have all of the answers by any stretch. I'm just good at disseminating media and info and ideas. And hopefully I can spread this info out and you'll take it. You'll pick up on something. You'll go off and run and learn more about something. And hopefully, as we cite the allegory of the cave, you got to come back in and tell us about it. That's part of the deal. So I won't rant and ramble anymore because there is so very much to go over. And yes, I was up at 3 in the morning here Pacific time, just in time to catch the beginning of the royal rituals. And I watched it all stream live, and then I was lucky enough to grab writer, researcher, into the occult, bloodlines, alchemy, oligarchy, all of those things, Tracy Twyman, TracyTwyman.com, as well, LibertyCatPress.com. I had the opportunity to speak with her for a little while this morning as we watched the rituals unfold. And I won't set it up. It'll explain itself, my friends. The royal rituals being discussed with Tracy Twyman.
Thanks so much for taking the time to discuss the royal rituals.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great that we can do this interview literally an hour or so after it finished. So this is like real time, people.
Exactly.
You know, you'll hear it later today, and this is breaking news. We have some hot off the presses analysis of this wedding that you're not going to get anywhere else.
So before I kind of give you the floor, I know we can think of many reasons why we shouldn't really be paying attention to this, with the movements in, you know, Obama's national security team moving the head of the CIA to the Pentagon and vice versa. And of course, the narcotics and the wars and all those things keep going, and Bernanke and press conferences and our financial situation. So there's any number of reasons why you can, I think, correctly say that a lot of this is a distraction. However, there is so very much going on in the world with this wedding, with the papal beatification, with the shuttle launch, and all of those things that are kind of swirling around there. So why should we be paying attention to this?
Well, because I think that the world is changing rapidly and that we can't accurately predict what is going to happen in the next few years, how the institutions of power are going to change. And for people to dismiss the monarchy as a distraction, as a, you know, just something for entertainment and to bring tourists in, is really not accurate, for one thing, and it may be even less accurate in the future, as, you know, things might very well change, where the monarch in the future may choose to exercise more of their ancient rights, more of their the actual traditional role that they are entitled to play in the governing of their kingdom. You know, right now the queen chooses to sort of take a back door to parliament, but she still has that power. She's still in charge. And, you know, Charles has basically said that he intends to exercise more power and influence than his mother has when he ascends to the throne, if he does. And, you know, and then William is a huge star in England and it was certainly more well-liked than the actual elected government. And I'm just saying, don't throw it out of a possibility that William or Charles may at any point actually be a very influential figure in geopolitics. Not to mention the fact that what I'm going to talk about tonight is ritual elements within the royal wedding and surrounding the monarchy itself that, I don't know, are interesting, if nothing else. It's, you know, it just goes to show that some of the things that people say, you know, conspiracy theorists say about the elite and their obsession with ritual, and, you know, a lot of people think that Satanists run the world. I think that to a certain extent, they're maybe onto something. I don't know about the Satanist part necessarily, but definitely these people are steeped in ritual and in ancient mythology. And when it comes to the royal families, that's what they do. That's what their entire role is. You know, the origin of kingship is all about the concept that the king is sort of God incarnate or literally blood related to the gods of the ancient world. And that when they are sitting on their throne, they're embodying God on earth and being a conduit between heaven and earth. So in the olden times, a king or a queen, their health and well-being was seen as influential of the kingdom at large. You know, if they were doing well, then it was thought of that's going to reflect well on the kingdom, and their fertility was thought of as being connected to the fertility and wealth of the land. And so this whole what I'm talking about, a ritual going on with this wedding, is connected with a very ancient ritual that was about this sacred connection between the king and the queen and the fertility of the land. It's this ancient fertility ritual of Beltane or May Day, in which the ceremonial marriage is celebrated of the king and queen of the May, or they really represent this larger metaphor of the queen Diana, the goddess of the ancient world, and what's called in the rituals the king of the wood, or in some cases, they overtly refer to him as Jupiter or Saturn, but it's this king of the world figure, this ancient, the god of the ancient world, and also the first king of the ancient world, and the prototype of kingship. And this queen figure, this goddess figure that's celebrated in the May Day ceremonies, is really the prototype of, you know, queenship in the ancient world. So in this ancient ceremony, which takes place on April 30th, April 30th is like the eve of May Day. It's called Walpurgis Night. There traditionally were these fertility rituals in which they would elect a king and queen of the May to represent this idea, and they would treat them as though they were actually, you know, king and queen, and sort of go through the ritual of it. And then at the end of the festival, they would sacrifice them. And during the festival, there's all these sexual rites taking place. And and all of this is supposed to influence the fertility of the land somehow. And that the symbolism of this ceremony, as I can explain, is embedded in this entire royal ritual.
I mean, do you take this whole weekend as an interesting kind of confluence of events that is by no means an accident?
I do, you know, and that's, I guess, partially because I tend to be a sort of mystical person anyway. I do believe in meaningful coincidence. I think that, you know, destiny has its way of making things like this happen, you know. But also, you know, you've got the royal family themselves, and they're steeped in tradition, and Prince Charles in particular, interested in mysticism and in the origin of all of these rituals. Where I learned about the meaning of the May Day ritual was out of this, you know, classic anthropology book, The Golden Bough, written by Sir James Frazer in the 1920s. Well, that was one of Prince Charles's favorite books. So he knows all about what the May Day ceremony is completely. And, you know, I wouldn't doubt if he was one of the advisors on how to arrange all of this stuff. There's this other thing that's going on, and as far as I can tell, we're not going to get to see it on TV, but at the reception, they should be consuming cake. I presume that's when they're going to cut up the cake and stuff. And the cake ceremony is going to be weird because traditionally they all eat the same cake, and it's a white cake, and there's actually a tradition about what the cake is going to be made out of, what kind of fruit it's going to have in the middle. But William has decided to break with tradition, and he's going to have his own cake served just to him. And it's going to be chocolate, dark chocolate with tea biscuits. And it's some sort of secret family recipe with a secret ingredient that he won't tell anyone about. But what's significant about that is that the May Day ceremony, you know, the old pagan one where they actually killed the temporary king at the end of it, the way they would pick the king was by lot, with the ceremony having to do with cake. They would bake a cake and then cut it up into pieces, and one of the pieces they would stick in the fire and char it so that it was black all the way around. And then they would distribute these to the people at the ceremony at the festival. And whoever got the blackened piece of cake was the king. And so they were, you know, elected to be the king, but they were also marked for death, marked to be the sacrifice of May Day. So it's kind of weird that it seems to me like William is being marked as that sacrifice, you know, ritually at least, for this day. I don't know exactly what that means, but it seems kind of ominous to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I feel like even as I was watching the footage of them in the motorcade, essentially, as I was watching it, I had a creepy feeling that I was watching JFK's motorcade in Dealey Plaza.
You know, and then there was something that the bishop said, the Bishop of Canterbury, who was doing the, you know, the sermon or whatever you would call the homily. One of the things he was instructing the bride and groom on how to live, you know, how to be righteous. And he said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then he also said, every wedding is a royal wedding with every bride and groom, the king and queen of creation. So, you know, he's drawing these parallels not only with ritual sacrifice, but with the king and queen sort of representing everybody, and, you know, by partaking in, by watching this ceremony, it's really your wedding too, you know, and every time you get married, it's connected to the same, you know, sacred symbolism, the same pattern. So, you know, what I think is interesting is that they're kind of coming right out about the fact that, hey, we're doing this because we want to cheer people up about how crappy the economy is. I heard a report about that just last night. It was actually on the news. It says, the royal family is really hoping to brighten people's spirits in the age of austerity. And so they've hired 5,000 police guards and then 10,000 special guards. And not to mention, you know, God knows what else the British taxpayer is paying for this. And, you know, they're of course prancing around in their gilded carriages and their fluffy garments and things like that. And, you know, it's kind of like, I just can't imagine that cheering you up and you, if you were just experiencing benefits cuts and joblessness and things like that. But, hey, I'm not British. I guess I don't get it.
Well, so I think as we start to wrap this up, and again, I really appreciate you taking the time and talking to us here kind of so early in the morning. But as we're essentially discussing these sort of, you know, bloodlines and families and birthrights, can we make any kind of connection also and tie in the quote-unquote revelation this week of Obama's birth certificate?
Oh, huh. Well,
it's just a thought.
I don't know. I hadn't really thought of that, but...
I hadn't really either.
You know, it is... I do think maybe... I don't know, something's... It feels like something's about to happen and that this isn't it. One of the things I thought of is that... in Britain, at least, they're taking the day off for this thing. So it's an extra bank holiday on... It makes a three-day weekend. So that gives the banks three whole days that, you know, they're probably not going to have a run if they can avoid it. You know, it'll be easy for them to, like, shut down the ATMs and just... What I'm saying is I think that... you know, by doing this, it's possible that if we're about to have a major financial situation this weekend, that, you know, this sort of provides extra distraction and have a buffer against panic if you can get people to sort of, you know, get wrapped in the reverie of this and then take an extra day off on Friday. Because, yeah, the next shoe that I feel is about to drop just, you know, on global geopolitics is... I think that we're about to have a major currency collapse here. You know, of course, I've been saying that for a while, but it's like, wow, we're really on the precipice of something major today. And I'm sure you've been talking about that. So I know I'll wrap it up here and just leave you with that. I think that the royal wedding was fun, but we're about to enter into something that's not going to be fun at all.
That cuts it pretty tightly, puts it pretty plainly. So,
One thing I would like to mention, though, the things that I discussed today and more will all be in a book that is coming out on May 2nd, and you can pre-order it now. It will be coming out on May 2nd as an e-book and potentially as a print book later, but we just want to get it out sort of right away. And it's going to be written by me and Clyde Lewis, the local radio presenter. It's called Antichrist 2012. Will Prince William be the king of the world? So you can get that at libertycatpress.com.
Once again, that's Tracy Twyman, libertycatpress.com, tracytwyman.com. That is the majority of our conversation that we had earlier this morning, and I hope to put up the entirety of that conversation, perhaps on YouTube or perhaps just as a podcast upload. So we turn to... the newest site in the media monarchy kingdom, holyhexes.com, for the 428 Papa Culture News Purge of Royal Rituals, Sainthood, and the New World Order. That's the article from The Telegraph, The Royal Wedding and the New World Order. Or, as the Belief blog on CNN puts it, strange confluence of Catholic and royal events continue. And there is a clip just brushing up against the overarching religious connections to all of this.
When Catherine arrives here at Westminster Abbey, she'll be in a state limousine, much like that one, and a lot of the initial attention will be about her dress. But when she walks into this hugely symbolic building, it won't just be about her marriage to William. It'll be about marriage itself. no less than the Archbishop of Canterbury, will conduct the service. And he knows this is an opportunity to sell marriage, particularly Anglican marriage, to the world.
William and Catherine are making this commitment very much in the public eye. And as sensible, realistic young people, they know what the cost of that might be. They've thought that through. And because of that, they will need the support, the solidarity, and the prayers of all those who are watching today. We have to be witnesses in an active sense, the kind of witnesses who really support what's going on. To be a witness is more than to be a spectator, and I hope that will be part of people's experience at the time of the wedding.
Catherine and William have both discussed what they want to say in the service, and according to the palace, they both see the whole occasion as sacred. William also will, of course, go on to become supreme leader of the Church of England, so this whole event is as much about spirituality as anything else. Max Foster, CNN London.
We also have a video called Secrets of the Royal Wedding Revealed, and that is basically an Alex Jones rant video, and that is, of course, where that previously mentioned Telegraph article, The Royal Wedding in the New World Order, gets the New World Order. Guest list includes friends, family, and a few dictators. That's The Guardian. Princess Diana funeral hymn to be sung. That's from the Daily Mail. And again, in my conversation with Tracy Twyman, we do get into the Diana connections, goddess and otherwise. Terror alert as security chiefs warn attack is highly likely. Six anarchists arrested ahead of royal ritual. That is from the Telegraph. And what is one of the more important parts that we need to shine a light on going on right now is that Charlie Veach of the Love Police was arrested in a pre-crime raid prior to the festivities today, and I believe there is a movement on to go surround the prison or the jail where he is being held. You may recall Charlie Veach, Love Police, does amazing nonviolent street actions. The videos are fantastic, and I implore you to check those out. You may recall he was also interviewed not too long ago on CorbettReport.com. Lauren Coleman of Copycat Effect, always doing great work with the Twilight language. His posting on royal dangers brings up a point I would have not remembered, that this is also the anniversary of that strange attack on the Dutch royals, I believe. If you recall, the man drove his car at them at Cleopatra's Needle, the Egyptian obelisk in London. It's the second anniversary. The Dutch royal family, yes. I was looking for the info. And as you heard in the clip, watching the parade, I couldn't help but think of Dealey Plaza. An interesting one from GodDiscussion.com. As royal wedding gears up, UFOs are expected to attend, as, again, we see this strange confluence. Dueling blessings. We took that from Belief Beat. Royal wedding versus Pope John Paul's beatification. That is coming this Sunday, May Day, May 1st. Founding of the Illuminati and so many other things. So we have links explaining the beatification. We also note that Pope John Paul II's blood will be shown at the beatification. Meanwhile, of course, pay no attention to all the abuse crises swirling around the debate over John Paul's legacy. And as if all of that weren't enough to worry about in this very weekend, we reported several times this year, and now it's getting very close. You guys, the rapture is coming, May 21st.
These messages were not sent from up above, but rather from a nonprofit evangelical group called Family Radio, based in Oakland. According to the group's interpretation of the Bible, May 21st will be the day of rapture, when its believers say that they will be taken up to heaven.
We are commanded by God in Ezekiel 33 to blow the trumpet. And that's exactly what's taking place right now.
American atheists wasted no time posting billboards of their own in text large enough to read from I-80 headed east, declaring, "You know it's nonsense." I spoke with the president of American Atheists, David Silverman, by phone.
We wanted to put it right in their face because they are hawking nonsense. This is how religion hurts people. This is one of the many ways religion hurts people. Our hope is that people who are not being suckered in by this rapture will learn from the people who are.
Michael Garcia says Family Radio reaches listeners from around the globe in several languages. Their countdown clear, and only 28 days remain.
There have been thousands of rapture predictions for the past 2,000 years. It's going to happen any day now, and they've all been scams, and they've all been false, and they've all been lies.
I was a skeptic as well, but when you begin to search out the timeline and the Bible and the patriarchs and all the dates that God has given us, now we have absolutely proofs from the Bible that 2011, May 21, is that day.
Family Radio says that dozens of their supporters have traveled across the country to spread their word of warning.
Beseech Him while the day is still here, while salvation is still possible, because God will close the door on May 21.
ICANN has proofs. Billboard battle over Judgment Day, American Atheists versus May 21st. More on that from goddiscussion.com. And I don't know how much I've ever gotten into this before, but when I was a little kid and became a born-again Christian, the thing that scared me and the thing that kept me up at night was wondering if I did it right. Because the rapture was coming. And if I didn't do the thing correctly, would I get to go? That's how I was brought up in the church with the sort of revelation and fire and brimstone, and that was kind of planted in my head. So all throughout these years, I've wrestled with it and wrestled through it, I believe. Perhaps that's all I'm going to say about it. Let's finish off these pop culture headlines connected to the royal rituals, the sainthood, and the New World Order. Famed New York street preacher, author David Wilkerson of The Cross and the Switchblade, killed in a car crash. And thanks to the listener who sent me the episode of a show on KCRW, and it's called The New Corporate World Order, Religion in American Politics. And I started to pull a clip to play, but it was boring. And that's why you're here, for energetic, fast-paced, non-commercial, corporate-free alternative media. Furthermore, on holyhexes.com, Satya Sai Baba, Indian guru, dies at the age of 84.
The end came on the morning of Easter Sunday. After almost a month in the ICU, spiritual leader Satya Sai Baba died of cardiorespiratory failure in the super speciality hospital he helped to set up in his hometown of Puttaparthi. Security was heightened in anticipation of the VIP visitors, but also for the influx of devotees expected here to pay their last respects to the man who brought not only international fame to Puttaparthi, but also drinking water, world-class medical care, and institutes of higher education. While the public was kept away from the hospital itself, there was a stream of VIPs, including Andhra Pradesh's Chief Minister Kiran Kumar Reddy and Governor ESL Narasimhan and Chandrababu Naidu. More high-profile visitors are expected over the next 3 days of state mourning, culminating in the funeral on Wednesday. Special arrangements have been made to bring in his followers to allow them to pay their last respects as the body of Satya Sai Baba lies in state at the Prashanti Nilayam Ashram that was his home. Everything possible was done for the medical treatment of Satya Sai Baba. The challenge now for the administration, for the trust, and for the devotees themselves is to continue the good work that he did, and more immediately to make sure that the next few days of state mourning pass off peacefully. With Govind Murthy, Maya Sharma in Puttaparthi for NDTV.
Hooded penitents take part in Holy Week processions in Spain. This from the Telegraph. Christian believers around the world celebrate the Holy Week of Easter, marking the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hundreds of processions take place around the clock in Spain, drawing thousands of visitors. The religious fraternities and brotherhoods are responsible for carrying the statues and organizing the penitents and musicians. The clothes and hats worn depict the people from Nazareth. However, any one of you would look at the photo along with this article on holyhexes.com and say, hey, the Klan. Posted on Easter Sunday to holyhexes.com, we all know the story of the crucifixion, but how much is myth and how much brutal reality? That article from the Daily Mail also references the story we hit last week of the supposed discovery of the nails used in the crucifixion.
An interesting piece from Pack Alert Press, Kabbalist Doctrine Explains World Events. The Kabbalist doctrine of destruction provides a key understanding of world events. According to the Kabbalah, which is the secret doctrine of Judaism and Freemasonry, evil and catastrophe are endemic factors in the process of creation. Without evil, there could be no good. Without destruction, creation could not take place. That is from Kabbalah, An Introduction to Jewish Mysticism, on page 72. Kabbalists believe the old Christian order must be ruthlessly destroyed before the new satanic world order based on the Kabbalah can be built, hence the Illuminati motto, order out of chaos. Hence, the Communist Manifesto advocates the destruction of nation, religion, and family, and the transfer of all private wealth to the Illuminati banksters in the guise of the state. The doctrine of destruction explains why war and revolution have been characterized by a gratuitous orgy of genocide, terror, and destruction. It explains the banishment of God from public discourse and the widespread acceptance of obscenity, pornography, and the occult. It explains the attack on gender and the promotion of homosexuality to heterosexuals. It explains why humanity seems cursed by never-ending crises and catastrophes, economic, political, and natural. I believe they are engineered by the Illuminati to attack and destroy anything that smacks of the healthy divine order, spiritual or natural. Make of that what you will, my friends. Kabbalist doctrine explaining world events. Question mark? From the French agency Press, Israel unveils first sin-free Yiddish smartphone. An Israeli telecom company is offering ultra-Orthodox Jewish clients a kosher smartphone with Hasidic folk music ringtones and a menu in Yiddish. While other firms have tapped into the religious market by offering phones free of internet access with no email or access to Facebook, which could lead users into temptation, none has so far offered its services in Yiddish. This phone has no text messages, internet access, Facebook, or email. It doesn't even have a camera. And if you call it from it on the Sabbath, you'll pay the exorbitant price of 10 shekels or $3 American, 2 euros per minute. And then we have, again, from the French agency Press, a story that I can't quite make out if this is just the re-announcement of something, because I found reports from last week in April 2011, but I also found reports going back describing the exact same event just over a year ago, or more than a year ago, March 2010. So whether it's here or there, we'll be here now. Giant statue of Amenhotep III unearthed in Egypt. Archaeologists have discovered a giant statue of Egypt's famous pharaoh, Amenhotep III, at his mortuary temple in the southern city of Luxor. The 13-meter-tall, 43-foot statue was found buried in seven pieces at the mortuary temple of Amenhotep III. It was one of the two statues placed at the northern entrance of the temple and was probably destroyed during an earthquake in 27 BC. The archaeological team is now working to clean, restore, and collect the seven pieces and find the head of the statue. It also said it was hoped the statue's twin would be unearthed soon. Amenhotep III, who ruled Egypt between 1390 and 1352 BC, is the father of Akhenaten, the heretic pharaoh. The heretic pharaoh. Considered a precursor of monotheism because he tried to impose the exclusive worship of Aten. And we all say amen.
A rare find to report tonight from Egypt, where ancient artifacts are hardly ever found intact, especially in the modern era. This is an exception, however, an 8-foot stone head of the pharaoh Amenhotep III, who ruled Egypt some 3,400 years ago. He was King Tut's grandfather. This is the best preserved likeness of him ever discovered anywhere.
Thank you.
Music from Cut, Copy, Pharaohs and Pyramids, from their new record, Zonoscope. As we say time and time again, that isn't it interesting how our artists seem to tap into the memes? We now shift from Holy Hexes to CyberspaceWar.com. Large Hadron Collider rumored to have found the God Particle. This is one of the three stories we go over on the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com, which is hot off the presses, just uploaded in the last hour or so. I have not yet posted it to MediaMonarchy.com, but since we go into that story on the latest episode, I'll save it for you to go to that episode on NewWorldNextWeek.com. But let's just hear a brief word about the God Particle from Michio Kaku.
To me, when we finally discover, quote, the God Particle, this is just the beginning. It's going to open the floodgates for a whole new branch of theoretical physics. There are some eternal questions that cannot be answered in the framework of conventional physics. Is time travel possible? Are there gateways to other universes? Are there other dimensions? Are there parallel universes? Einstein's equations hint at higher dimensions. They hint at parallel universes. They hint at time travel. But to nail it to the wall, you have to have a theory of everything. And that's what I think the Large Hadron Collider outside Geneva, Switzerland may give us. It may prove the existence of dark matter. Dark matter is predicted by string theory. String theory is the fabled theory that eluded Einstein for the last 30 years of his life. So all the subatomic particles that we're going to catalog with the Large Hadron Collider, thousands of them that we've discovered, are nothing but musical notes. Like A, B flat, C sharp. They're nothing but musical notes on a tiny little rubber band that keeps vibrating inside our body.
Now, we heard Tracy Twyman mention our man, Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org. Of course, now 5 nights a week, 9 to midnight on KXL 101.1 FM and 750 AM here in Portland, Oregon. Quantum entanglement, anachronism, killer cults from outer space, and the dream invasion. Those are the four articles that accompany the last 4 nights of radio shows, and we provide all those links for you. We provide the stream. We provide the subscribe to the RSS feed so you can get all this other alternative media that, again, we just try and repost and share to get great alternative media out to folks. I believe also Clyde pulled off some publicity stunt this morning concerning royal rituals, but we'll have to get more into that a little bit later. Episode 24 from the number one higher education podcast on Podomatic. That is peacerevolution.org. Episode 24, Logic Works Because It's Rational. How to teach each other. And that is the key being discussed in every episode of PeaceRevolution.org. Fantastic work from Richard Grove of TragedyAndHope.com and all the folks within that community. There's also a new show from Paul Verge of DivergentFilms.com. Remedy Radio, I believe. I'm just pulling that off the top of my head because there are so many new pieces of media out there. Again, to just get into any area that tickles your fancy, as it were, but getting it out there in a fear-free kind of way. Episode 183 from CorbettReport.com, 5 lectures that will blow your mind. Again, every week we'll post up all the latest interviews, videos, and podcasts from CorbettReport.com. He's also been on Russia Today a couple of more times, one discussing Fukushima and Chernobyl and the art of the cover-up, but a new video just went up this morning. Again, I try and make the show as up-to-date as I can, but it's just impossible to have it all posted up for you. But again, hopefully you guys know how to go get and spread this kind of information for me or anyone else. He was on Russia Today again discussing Syria. And through the lens of Libya. So, like I said, the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com just went up. I haven't even watched it myself. 9/11 hijack, running on empty, and the God particle. The God particle we just referenced. Running on empty and the 9/11 hijack are coming very soon in this episode 216. So we speak about Chernobyl, so we turn again to cyberspacewar.com, and again, huge hat tip and thanks to Alan in Omaha, our lead writer and editor over on cyberspacewar.com, for posting about the 25th anniversary of the Chernobyl nuclear disaster. As we see so many anniversaries swirl around, as we've jokingly, I guess, referred to the Ides of April. But to keep moving, we'll jump to our latest BioWars EnviroHealth updates back on Media Monarchy. Quake drill, oil spill, and radioactive rain. The U.S. shakeout drill preps civilians for earthquakes. More on that from thehill.com. And all around, Homeland Security to conduct multi-state earthquake drill. Napolitano and Duncan went to St. Louis for the earthquake drill. Meanwhile, Illinois area schools opt out of the drill, as MSNBC reports logic for Midwest quake drill called a bit shaky. And that would be the great U.S. Midwest shakeout, I believe it was called. The frightening thing is that it swirls around the New Madrid
fault line area in the heart of the country where we just saw an unbelievable rampage of tornadoes. And I'll throw out a reference. I just finished off the recent A&E TV movie version of the Andromeda Strain, a sort of reimagining of the Michael Crichton novel. And within that film of a biological outbreak, to say the very least, when they move in the military, they tell the public it's a training drill. So, several days ago, there was storm damage that closed down the St. Louis airport. More on that from the Wall Street Journal. And then, southern U.S. hit by fresh storms. That's from the Deutsche Press Agency. Tornadoes devastate the South, killing at least 250, from the Associated Press. Intel Hub, theintelhub.com. Tornadoes rock Alabama and Georgia, one of the largest tornado outbreaks in history, as the death toll in U.S. rampage of tornadoes nearing 300. And oh yeah, that nuclear thing, that's still going on. Radiation rainwater update. Idaho iodine levels are 14,066% above the EPA limit. And I believe if we hit that link and look at the top 10, we see that Portland, Oregon is number 10 with a bullet. 2,893% of the EPA limit of iodine radiation. Meanwhile, in Ohio, from one end of the country to the other, high levels of radiation reported at Perry Nuclear Plant in Ohio. Nothing to see here. Please move along. And we also have, last week, of course, the anniversary of the Gulf oil spill. That is still going on. On every single level, all of the sort of categories of news that we discuss, so many things swirling around. And again, I hope we try and approach this and discuss and dissect and just try to armchair analyze the best that I can do. I don't want to do it from a freak out standpoint, but there is, as I've already said, there's very much going on, so there's a lot to pay attention to, so we should be perhaps a little more activated. So we discuss the Gulf oil spill, and there is a very, very interesting and important video and article, because several of these we've discussed in the last year, but this puts together the mysterious deaths of 9 Gulf oil spill whistleblowers.
A very important blog post by someone going by the name of Lauren Ragland has appeared on the internet this week. And what that blog post does is it lays out the mysterious connections between individuals who have gone missing, been put in prison under questionable charges, or died or been killed in mysterious ways. All of these people have connections because they were critical of the BP oil spill or may have had knowledge of wrongdoing on the part of British Petroleum. Now, some people are obviously connected to the oil spill. Others, we can only speculate on what they knew.
And Ragland didn't include all the links on her blog post, so we went down the rabbit hole, checked them all out. They're linked down below in the description, so you can take a better look and kind of follow along as this video proceeds. But definitely something is stinky about this, and it seems like all of these critics were trying to be silenced.
Right. Now, the first case is Gregory Stone. He was an LSU scientist specializing in, you know, marine-related issues, and he died of an unknown illness. He is the most recent person to die. These go in reverse chronological order, so, you know, from the most recent person to the case that happened the furthest away about a year ago. So this Gregory Stone died on February 17th, 2011.
Now in early 2007, January 26th, Anthony Nicholas Tremonti was arrested for child corn charges. And Tremonti worked in the Mississippi Department of Marine Resources as an officer there. Now, his charge is interesting because they went in to his house, seized his laptop, and then found the porn charge, which is very similar to the case of Dr. Thomas B. Manton, who died on January 19th, 2011. He was the former president and CEO of the International Oil Spill Control Corporation. He supposedly had one count of child porn on his computers, which he and his family members said was put there, planted there. They found it. They put him in regular prison, and because of that accusation, you know, having child porn, he was killed in prison. But we can only speculate whether he was killed randomly by a prisoner or whether there was, you know, darker motives at play there. And who knows what, you know, maybe someone was paid off to kill him. Who knows?
Who knows?
Pretty intense speculation.
There's a lot of speculation.
But
right now,
the fact that he had a porn charge leveled against him, and which is the same thing a week later, what happened to Anthony Nicholas Tremonti, who, as an officer, as kind of a law enforcement, a porn charge does a lot more to discredit him.
Right. Now, this next case is one of those cases we talked about. There's a lot of speculation as to their connection. John P. Wheeler II was a former Pentagon official and a presidential aide and defense consultant and an expert on chemical and biological weapons. He was beaten to death, and his body was discovered in a landfill.
Right.
Obviously, no one wanted the people who did this didn't want his body discovered or really even known that he was gone.
There's been a lot of media speculation about why John P. Wheeler was killed, because he is one of the most high-profile people, if not the highest-profile person on here. He served, as you said, in the administration of George W. Bush. Media reports said that he was seen the day before, kind of disoriented and woozy, so who knows what else went on before Wheeler was eventually found dead. Now, James Patrick Black was an incident commander for BP's Gulf of Mexico oil spill response team, and he died on November 23rd, 2010, near Destin, Florida, in a small plane crash.
In November of 2010, Chitra Shauhan, who was a 33-year-old woman who worked at the University of South Florida for the Center for Biological Defense and Global Health Infectious Disease Research, was said to have killed herself by taking a cyanide tablet. Interestingly enough, she doesn't really fit the profile of someone who would do that. She was a new mother and wife to a new father.
Yeah, Dr. Jeffrey Gardner, Swan Doctor, there's very little about his status, this person online. But this website says, and the other things we found through Googling his name, November 2010, he went missing. He was a swan expert who was looking into the cases you may have heard of large groups of birds just up and dying in the Gulf region. So he was looking into that. He's now missing. No real explanation as to where he went or what his status is.
Roger Gruters was a cyclist who was cycling from California to Florida to raise awareness for the BP oil spill. Towards the end of the cycle, he was hit by a truck. He was 66, and so what his family has done is they're finishing the race, or they finished the last leg in order to honor him and to continue to raise awareness for the BP oil spill.
Now, the case of Senator Ted Stevens is an interesting one because he was a recipient, supposedly, of a whistleblower's communication relative to the BP oil disaster blowout preventer. And it's interesting because his plane crashed in August 9th, 2010, and that crash killed other people as well up in Alaska. It killed 9 people on board the 1957 de Havilland DHC-3 Otter plane, a small little plane. And it went down, and the National Transportation Safety Board is still under investigation, still looking into exactly what went wrong with that flight. So his case is open. He's one of the people who we don't really know. We're not really sure of his connection to this, but it appears that he may have had some knowledge that could have been very harmful to BP.
Matthew Simmons was an activist who was speaking out against the Gulf oil spill. He was found dead in his hot tub of an apparent cardiac arrest incident. And again, his connection to BP, to this oil spill, isn't widely known.
but he was an activist and very critical of the source.
The last person on the list is scientist Joseph Morrissey, who died on April 6, 2010. He was a cell biologist and college professor, and he was a near native Floridian who chose to return to South Florida after studying at elite universities, and he was fatally shot during what police say was a home invasion robbery. So, very tragic cases, very strange cases. We urge you to check these things out for yourself. We have all the links down below for you to look into each of these people's cases.
Yeah, we don't really have the resources to be going out investigating this on our own, being out here from California, but we're hoping that more and more this story is talked about. We're hoping that some mainstream outlets pick it up and some investigations will be launched.
Let's get the rest of our BioWars updates. Approximately 180 nations taking part in Immunization Week. That is from VaccineNewsDaily.com. New concerns over swine flu jab after children given it hit by sudden sleep syndrome. You know it as narcolepsy. CDC vaccine scientist who downplayed links to autism indicted by the Department of Justice in alleged fraud scheme. More on that from naturalnews.com. Going back to April 25th and back to our weather wars, lightning strikes the White House, occupant unharmed. And our last two notes are strange ones. One from KPTV, corpse flower at the Hawaii Zoo emits a rotten smell as crowds line up to smell the corpse flower that smells of rotting human flesh. And our last BioWars update comes from ScienceDaily.com. Like a scene out of a sci-fi movie, king crabs invade Antarctica. When I first saw that story, I thought it was another animal mass die-off situation. But it's a mass movement situation, and they said the same thing I said about something else on the most recent NewWorldNextWeek.com, that so many of these things are like a bad sci-fi movie. And even as I was listening to the clip, it's like Andromeda Strain. And it seems like the sky is falling.
Rain and thunder and lightning, crumbling buildings, falling hurricanes, earth shattering, membrane scattering, insane happening, souls keep burning and the sky keeps plummeting.
The sky is falling, life is appalling, and death is lurking, niggas killing each other, leaving bodies, nobody's searching for, and juveniles as fools and trouts catching a bit of murder, one and mothers is drinking and drugging, hoeing, searching for their son, and liquor stores upon every corner, and younger people done accepted defeat in a melting pot of lava, sleeping in the hood is all the mind can conceive, when your foes bleed until they death and you pick in a pocket, all the just get even, niggas is banging, they fathers was banging, they unks thugging, highly intelligent Africans low with the punch mugging, and the coppers is the clan and the planet's run by your government, a genocidal thieves all the while the devil is loving it, and children in high school rolling through smoking their classes up, and people that's rich don't be checking for what is happening, degrading our women, knocking them up, leave them or smack them up, and ain't no way to reach us, we sleeping like hell's passing.
Rain, thunder, and lightning, crumbling buildings, falling hurricanes, shattering, debris scattering, insane happening, souls keep running, and the sky keeps plummeting, rain and thunder and lightning, crumbling buildings, falling hurricanes, and shattering, windbreaks, scattering, insane happening, souls keep burning, and the sky keeps plummeting.
Falling, no one is watching, tornadoes twisting, winds, nobody is listening, fires, no one pays attention, energies are erupting, blurring the intentional vision, doctors and lawyers and scientists all are locked in the prison of the mind, and all the youth are unreachable, but they teachable, but MCs don't be teaching them to, they deep down in their soul amongst the prostitution and pimping, robbing and stealing, we giving in,
never truth,
this is nigga land,
hallelujah,
but never damn,
the future,
religions is institutionalized,
giving
you the lies, you die through pistols at the hand of your own people, it's lethal, but it's living proof, and steadily we smile at the death inside of our living. Roman instead of college, they got us slanging after high school for the love of the money and everything that it'll buy you. Everybody out for that and they'll kill you if you arrival. 20 lines and one steak on the table. It's about survival. The sky
rain is falling. Lightning, crumbling buildings, falling hurricanes, are shattering, windbreaks scattering, insane happening, souls keep burning and the sky keeps plummeting.
Revelation from the now captive to the rendition. Karma bring the fury out of the
rage gun.
Drown the confusion through the devastation. Living in the dreams of
illumination.
Truth is absolute, prophets can't wake none. Fear it closing in for fear they
can't take none. Revelation, devastation, better stay strong.
fantastic music from their amazing 2002 record Blazing Arrow. That was Blackalicious, Sky Is Falling, but maybe not. We're into hour number two of episode 216 for MediaMonarchy.com. It's April 29th, 2011. My name's James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com. We'll glance yet again at the breaking news. Laura Logan speaks out about assault in Egypt. You may recall this story going back to 2/11, February 11th of this year, the reporter's rape and assault in Egypt. And there's also the energy crisis and Prince William. But we'll shift gears over to foodworldorder.com. Christian group urges people to buy Jesus chicken from Chick-fil-A. Taking it from the raw story, the American Family Association, a conservative Christian group, is urging people to show appreciation for the fast food chain Chick-fil-A by purchasing their products during the week of April 25th through the 30th. You still have a day. This so-called boycott is in response to an attack by homosexual activists against the Christian-owned Chick-fil-A company, the group said. AFA also said it was pleased the fast food chain plays Christian music in its restaurants and closes all its locations on Sunday. Chick-fil-A's corporate purpose states that the business exists, quote, to glorify God by being faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us and have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. More on the culture war battles surrounding this story, and I do note at the bottom this story could have also been posted over on holyhexes.com, but I'll just mention that I always remember the Chick-fil-A in the Crossroads Mall was right next to the movie theater, and yes, it was always dark on Sundays. The other bit from foodworldorder.com, the 428 Binge and Purge, shareholders and armed agents, where we begin with a question from grist.org. Are you enjoying your daily chemical cocktail? Meanwhile, from foodsafetynews.com, Coca-Cola shareholders to vote on a BPA resolution. But little piggies crawling in the dirt. Minnesota reps behind an ag gag bill, of course, have factory farm ties. And finally, at least on some level, shining a light on the truth about coconut water. As some of you may know, I work in a grocery store, and the coconut water thing over the last several months, nuts. People really like trendy new beverages that they could hop onto. Sweden will soon be GM-free. That's from GMWatch.org. More action tips to get Monsanto out of Whole Foods and Trader Joe's. And that's from OrganicConsumers.org. And I'll mention the positive thing that I didn't know. I hadn't really thought about it. But Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, at least in their store-owned products, claim no GMOs. So that's a good part. Food Freedom asking the question, so how's this Food Patriot Act working out so far? You know it as the Food Safety and Modernization Act. And our last note brings it on home from naturalnews.com. Armed agents invade Hood River, Oregon-based Maxim Nutraceutics, and they steal their natural health products in another shocking FDA raid. So they're not just shutting down poker sites, but the health food. I believe there's other stories going on in the UK surrounding just this issue that all sources around essentially Codex Alimentarius. We move back to MediaMonarchy.com for another of the stories that we cover on the latest NewWorldNextWeek.com. More drivers running out of gas as they accelerate towards the econo crash.
With those gas prices inching toward $4 a gallon and the record high prices for gas, a lot of people are trying to stretch their dollar at the gas pump, but some of them are stretching it a little too far. Len Hayes Freeland is live with more New at 5. Len.
Well, Stephanie, if you drive on a regular basis, even if it's not so regular, you already know the cost of gas has skyrocketed. The question now is, how are you handling it? Well, some drivers are actually gambling more that they can get a little further on the gas they have. The trouble is, a lot of times, they can't.
We're going to take the can out of here.
Since the beginning of March, AAA has seen an 18% increase in the number of roadside calls for people running out of gas.
I never put a lot in because I can't afford to fill up.
Leo Greek says he's not even sure how much it would cost to fill up his truck these days because he hasn't done it for a while. He gets only what he needs, and today he underestimated that.
It's frustrating. I can't believe it has to be that expensive, but I know everybody's going through it.
According to AAA, gas prices in the Pittsburgh area have gone up 26 cents per gallon in the last month. That, for many drivers, means thinking differently about driving and allocating gas on the road.
What we're seeing is that motorists tend to try to stretch their miles in their gas tank. They try to get to a station that they think is cheaper. They think that they can stretch their money a little bit further.
Okay, give her a shot, see if she starts.
That's our finish here.
All right.
Right up.
Before, it was more absent-minded than anything else. But now, it's I believe that's what it is. I believe people were like, you know, man, you know, I got to buy something else, so I'm not going to put gas in the car. I should be able to make it, and they don't. So, and that's why we come out and take care of them.
Now, some AAA memberships actually provide the gas to you on the spot at no extra cost. Others, you do have to pay for that service. Otherwise, if you run out of gas on the road, you better have a plan B. Or, as most of the experts I spoke to today tell me, don't let your tank drop below a quarter of a tank to be on the safe side. Period. Reporting live in the newsroom, I'm Lynn Hastrew and Katie Cade.
Now, the couple of updates we have to this. The first, from Reuters, U.S. gasoline settles at 33-month high. And that reminded me, if I would have gone into some of the southern storms a little bit more and gotten into some of the states and some of the statistics, there were more than one state that reported 33 deaths. Just making note. The other related updates, Walmart notes their shoppers are running out of money. That's from CNN. The other note from blacklistednews.com asked the question, should you buy a home in 2011? 29 insane statistics on the housing crisis. And it may even makes me think. But now we're in for it, my friends. We've made it to the 428 News Purge on MediaMonarchy.com. It's the TORNADO where we took the title from our opening track from the Go Team. And here it is, the drug war. Cocaine floating in New Mexico Lake after a plane crash.
Hello, everyone. We begin with a developing story out of northern New Mexico. State police are spending their Easter Sunday hunting for the wreckage of a small plane that crashed into Heron Lake, and they're finding a lot more than the wreckage there. News 13's Amanda Goodman is live in the Newsplex with more. Amanda.
Well, Tim, State Police spokesperson Lieutenant Eric Garcia says they found several bundles of cocaine in the area of the downed plane. Sky Ranger flew above the scene this afternoon. The lake is about 11 miles west of Tierra Amarilla in Rio Arriba County. State Police sent out their boat team and were able to find some debris of the plane, which they brought to this dock. They also found multiple bundles of cocaine, which they believe came from the plane. And because of that, they have cut off access to the area near the crash. At this point, where the plane was headed and who was on it are still under investigation. But Lieutenant Garcia says there appear to be no survivors. A couple of commercial pilots staying at a cabin on Heron Lake tell News 13 they heard the plane circling above them before the crash. At some point, the sound of the engine changed, and the next thing they heard was a boom. State police say a witness at the lake did see the plane hit the water and then sink. The pilots and investigators say it was foggy and snowing at the time. The dive team is now searching the lake for the rest of the plane.
Because of the fact that the aircraft is so far underwater as of right now, we have not positively identified the pilot and or passengers, if in fact there is passengers.
And state police haven't specified how much cocaine was found. And again, it's still not clear where the plane was coming from or heading. But we do know there are several airports in the area. Tim, back to you.
Thank you, Amanda. State police say the investigation will easily last through the next 48 hours. They are asking anyone else who may have seen the crash to contact.
Contact them. I like how they note there appear to be no survivors. That's probably because they survived. Narco-traffickers' revelation exposes drug war complicity. This will shed the broader light on this drug war story from one of the best sites, narconews.com. Meanwhile, misaddressed marijuana goes to an elderly Pennsylvania couple as anti-drug Rhode Island Republican charged with, wait for it, drug use. That's right. And that follows on the heels of last week's story about whatever other hypocrite who got busted doing whatever he said he doesn't like. Our last note on the drug war is an excellent two-part report and article from WNYC by way of raw story. Illegal searches lead to a surge in New York marijuana arrests.
Every day in New York City, police arrest 140 people for possessing small amounts of marijuana. It's now by far the most common misdemeanor charge in the city, and thousands of these arrests take place when police stop and frisk young men in the poorest neighborhoods. While police say these stop and frisks are a way to find guns, what they find more often is a bag of marijuana. An investigation by WNYC's Elsa Chang suggests that some police officers may be conducting illegal searches when they're making these marijuana arrests.
Antonio Rivera says he's the kind of guy police love to stop.
What's going on, primo?
He wears baggy jeans that hang low. His thick black hair is usually in braids, and he's half Puerto Rican, half black. Just the right shade, he jokes, to get any police car to roll right up to him.
Look, there they go right there being nosy. Yep. I think they're going to hop out right now. Yeah.
A police car has just pulled up in front of us. Rivera holds his breath. The officers watch us for a minute and then drive on.
Crazy. If I would have been here by myself, they would have hopped out, definitely.
Rivera says the police stop him up to five times a month. In January, he was stopped and frisked right here at the corner of 183rd Street and Creston Avenue in the Bronx. They arrested him for marijuana possession, and critics of the police say his case is a good example of how officers may be conducting illegal searches when making marijuana arrests. The law says if you're carrying a small amount of pot, but it's in your pocket, it's not a crime, it's a violation. All you get is a ticket and a fine. It becomes a crime if you're smoking that pot or displaying it in public view. Rivera says the only reason the police could say his marijuana was in public view was because they pulled it out of his clothes after searching him without his consent.
Let's keep moving down the news purge into media memes. Bombshell tapes reveal new Marilyn Monroe mystery. This is from AOL News, and I believe it concerns the question of whether or not Marilyn Monroe had some final weekend jaunt with Frank Sinatra and Sam Giancana. Jodie Foster made a note about her alien head of state in the new film from the director of District 9. It's called Elysium. And this story about Jodie Foster saying her Elysium alien head of state is evilish isn't really as important to note as just that I didn't know that Neil Blomkamp had a new film because I was and am a big fan of District 9. Church of Scientology snaps up Hollywood film studio. That's from The Guardian, and this is referring to not a company that puts out movies, but to a complex where you can create movies. Meanwhile, Max Matthews, the quote-unquote father of computer music, dies at the age of 84. More on that from the New York Times. West Virginia-born Hazel Dickens, bluegrass singer-songwriter. She has passed away at the age of 75. And polystyrene, the British punk pioneer with X-ray specs, has passed away at the age of 53. Oh, bondage, up yours.
Some people think little girls should be seen and not heard, but I think... Oh, bondage, up yours! 1, 2, 3, 4!
Come on!
released September 1977. That was a month after I was released. British punk rock band X-Ray Specs. And as we noted before that track, lead singer Polystyrene passes away at the age of 53. Our last note of media memes, and again, thanks to the listener who sent me this link from Wired's Underwire. A fan-made Batman complex unmasks Insane Dark Knight. It's an interesting reimagining mashup of trailers from The Machinist and The Dark Knight and Inception and Shutter Island into a sort of Fight Club-like. Does Batman only exist in the fevered, psychotic mind? But we've reached the police state updates. Military courtesy patrols deployed on Georgia streets, and they started last Friday, April 22nd, in downtown Columbus, Georgia.
Patrols in uptown Columbus will be intensified starting tonight. An officer and a non-commissioned officer from Fort Benning will be on courtesy patrol. News 3's Sarah Panko is live in uptown Columbus. She's on the crime watch for us this evening. Sarah.
Starting at 10 o'clock tonight, some here on Broadway may notice two soldiers in full military uniform. The odd thing, though, about these two soldiers is that they'll be wearing armbands that read courtesy patrol.
Fort Benning Commanding General Robert Brown and Columbus Mayor Teresa Tomlinson announced that they will work together to increase the sense of safety in uptown Columbus. It comes after two weekend incidents earlier this month. In the first incident, police say these five soldiers beat another man. The beating was witnessed near 1st Avenue and 10th Street, sending the victim, a former soldier, to the hospital with head injuries. The other, a shooting that left four injured, one fatally, at Mario's restaurant on Broadway. This man is charged in connection with the assault. Now, Columbus police will have the company of two uniformed Fort Benning soldiers on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Mayor Tomlinson says the soldiers won't be able to make any arrests, but will be able to command order of all military personnel.
You can't arrest somebody for simply being intoxicated or having had too much to drink, but a senior officer can order you back to base and can even have the military police come to shuttle you back to the base.
The incidents have made some extra cautious.
I would not get out of my car to walk somewhere by myself down here.
Charlotte Burton says the patrols might not be enough.
And I know this is just a start of something new that they're trying, but I do believe that they're going to have to just increase the security that is, you know, being offered down here.
For Specialist Ryan Jesse, stationed at Fort Benning, the extra patrol is a good idea.
Keeps things in check a little bit, you know, keeps everything from kind of getting, you know, out of hand really quickly. Seems like that tends to happen with soldiers, unfortunately.
The patrols will last about 5 hours, ending at 3 a.m. That's shortly after bars here on Broadway close their doors. Live in uptown Columbus, Sarah Panko, WRBL, News 3 on your side.
Thank you, Sarah. This is not the first time the city of Columbus has enlisted the help of military courtesy patrols, but it has been years since the practice was used.
Oh, officer friendly, and they stop at 3 a.m., which sounds like they'll basically be there to the point right up until you may actually need them. Police brutality, police state videos exploding all over the place. Cop beats woman at Atlanta IHOP, I guess, as long as we're staying in Georgia for our police state updates. And we also, of course, want to draw attention to that story of courtesy patrols in Columbus, Georgia. Former Sullivan City, Texas police chief sentenced to 10 years in prison for his involvement in a drug trafficking ring. Meanwhile, Long Island, that would be Kings Point, Long Island, plans extensive surveillance network.
Kings Point may have the most extensive municipal surveillance system in the nation. The exclusive North Shore community ultimately installing 44 cameras to scan every license plate on every vehicle for possible criminals. An unfortunate necessity, says this resident.
There's cameras on almost every intersection now. It's the harsh reality of today's world.
Privacy advocates, meantime, called the cameras overreaching. Barbara Stein, however, is a resident who uses a recent rash of home burglaries here to defend all the surveillance.
I mean, if it's caught on video, you know, they'll have a better chance of apprehending whoever is doing this.
Authorities stress only police will have access to surveillance information. In Kings Point, Long Island, Mike Zaranax, WCBS 880 News.
Meanwhile, suspicious passengers taken off United flight. United Flight 593 had to return to Denver International Airport gate because of three suspicious passengers on board who were questioned and then released. The old catch and release. Meanwhile, TSA screener charged in distributing child pornography. More on that from Philly.com. And a former Miss America, Susie Castillo, I believe is her name. She has a very heartbreakingly disturbing video that she shot herself moments after being sexually molested by the TSA. Meanwhile, they do have a man arrested over the Colorado pipe bomb incident at that mall. And when I read more about this story from the LA Times and from the BBC, I learned that he also did time for a bank robbery in Crab Orchard, West Virginia. And of course, where this pipe bomb, where was it? It was in Littleton, Colorado, right next to Columbine High School. And a Harrison County, West Virginia man sues local police, cities, and county commission for an alleged attack. More on that from WBOY.com. And our last police state international note, feds say 247 people on the terror watch list bought guns in 2010. 24/7 police state updates. Our war horse notes from the Guantanamo files. Al Qaeda assassin worked for MI6. That's from The Guardian. AllGov.com gets into the broad picture of the Guantanamo files, revealing innocents detained and terrorists released. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like something we've already discussed here? As again, the New York Times and other outlets pat themselves on the back for their amazing coverage of these stories of wars of aggression based on lies leading to hate and death and torture. And the football gets passed off from one to another. Petraeus would helm an increasingly militarized CIA, so says the Washington Post, as, of course, Obama is shuffling the deck chairs on Titanic 2 as he shuffles his national security team. So as was noted, I believe, on the recent episode of No Agenda, in discussing the royal ritual distraction, they noted, of course, that something that big, of course, helps to cover up things like moving the head of the military to the head of intelligence and vice versa, and the drug running and Wall Street. That's what we're not paying attention to, among many other things. Finally, at the end of this 428 News Purge, it's the TORNADO. We hit our West Virginia worry with a positive note. Again, from allgov.com, FBI hints at criminal charges in Upper Big Branch mine disaster. The Obama administration may be considering criminal charges against the operator of the Upper Big Branch mine, where 29 workers were killed in April 2010. In a letter to victims' families, the FBI's mentioned its, quote, investigation into various activities, end quote, at the mine to determine whether any federal laws were broken. And I'll remind you of our coverage of that mining disaster last April. And the last note of West Virginia worry comes from DailyMail.com out of Charleston. Senator Byrd's scholarship cut from budget. And that's not just referring to scholarships for West Virginians, which, of course, there were many. But that was for everybody. And now that someone like Robert Byrd is no longer around to fight for something like that, yet again, you're on your own. And we reach another interesting psychological operation in a field of many, my friends. Does the Obama birth certificate, does it raise as many questions as it answers?
Well, first of all, this shows that agitation can lead to results, and people who think that the federal government is beyond their reach should now think again. Obama did not want to reveal this, and now he's been forced to reveal whatever he has revealed. I think the first step is, as Phil has been suggesting, We need to see a detailed analysis of this forgeries. Is it fabricated? Is it real? What's with the name of the doctor? What if these people are still alive? Can they provide some enlightenment? As Phil also points out, the really big question is the naturalization of Barack Hussein Obama, if that really is his name, in Indonesia as Barry Sotoro, the son of Lolo Sotoro, or Sotero, who was the guy that his mother married, and therefore he is, by all accounts, became at that point a naturalized citizen of Indonesia. I would also extend a broader standard. If you want to be president, it means that you want to get your hand on the thermonuclear button. That gives you life or death power over virtually everybody in the United States and many people in the world. At that point, there is no private sphere. We want to see everything. We want to see his records from the prep school, Punahou, in Hawaii. We want to see the Occidental College records. We want to see the Columbia University records. We have this guy, Wayne Root, who says that he was in that year at Columbia. He's asked all the alumni. Nobody ever heard of Obama in that graduating class. We want to see the Harvard story. We want to see his tax returns. We want to see his records at this Business International Corporation, which is a notorious CIA front, as long as it existed. We want to see his State Department file regarding the visas and trips that he took. For example, did he go to Pakistan early on with a couple of schoolmates?
Webster Tarpley getting into some of the more important issues surrounding all the questions about Barry Sotoro. Unless you think we're hopping on some birther bandwagon here, we've been discussing this story, the last 3 years here, and my position on it has pretty much always been, it seems kind of shady, but even if it all came out that it's all fake and he's not really born here, we would rush headlong to change the Constitution overnight, and that's problem, reaction, solution. The real story here is that, regardless of how this comes out now, all these latest moves keeps it all in the company, as Wayne Madsen's two-part bombshell report getting into what is, again, what Tarpley was referring to there, the intelligence connections. So we have more from thesmokinggun.com as well. Digital artifacts prove Obama birth certificate altered. BuzzFeed.com getting into the 20 areas surrounding the certificate and the questions. But then Barry hopped on board Air Force One to tell all to Oprah. And we heard mention of the doctor who is listed on here. A story from KPTV, click to Houston.com. Many times I subscribe to a few different news of the weird, and that's one of those feeds, and that's where this story came from. Widow learns late husband delivered Obama. And on around Obamasiah and the congressional critters all around, Deutsche Press Agency says another Republican joins presidential mix as Ron Paul announces exploratory committee. Meanwhile, his son, Rand Paul, demands to see original long-form certificate of Donald Trump's Republican credentials. And yes, it is round and round and round. But in honor of the birthright and all of these announcements, let's at least play the president off.
Paragraph, paralyzer, rhythmic aristocrat. Mr. Rap, it's the gift of gab. About to twist your cap. Swift the best of fast. Fury, worry, hit the speech your ass. Into bits and fragments, submit your quit to sit your ass. Sit your ass down while I rip the tracks and spit the facts. Hit the grass, green, brown, or purple, I'm the diplomat. Rip your raps, really, you don't get the math. Just a half breed, only rhyme, I was meant to rap. Into that. While you're breathing, rhyme, heathen, kidnap your mental black. Hijack your fly, dapper, con, head your intellect. Mind state, arrow blast, centered crack, mind gap. Mind, find eight. Eyes back, send your back crying. Act up, a pencil pad, my utensil grab, kind of attention. Get hit so bad with jujitsu stab, I offend you. And if you rap, I'ma send you back, labbing in a tavern. If you mad, kid, it's just too bad. Tell him it's the
president.
And it's official, you can hear the cheer coming up.
President.
Now, this special treat this evening, I have asked America's foremost young poet, John Moore, to read his latest poem for us.
It's like who cut the provolone. Government officials put taps on my mobile phone. Stations overthrown. Hold my own, on my zone. Prone to leave your dome blown. Poem after poem. Holmes Jones full of tones. Roam with me. Turn your motor on. Overlong fist. War just got it going on. Overgrown child never growing old. Sowing nose. Broken nose to the Nova host. Whole overdose. On my flows. Those flows goes deep. Hold your nose. Broke nose. Foes. Yo, don't sleep. Slow your roll. Show my soul. Total hold. Domination. Don't you know? I'm the comet like Muhammad with a verbal rope. Don't it's time.
Sweeping the nation with a hard-hitting campaign.
President. As a politician, he regards himself as a national harmonizer. President.
And so, Mr. President, we urge you to do something about the deplorable state of our nation.
I pledge allegiance to the pen and the pad and the mic and grace in America. And to the Republic, kiss my ass. Thugs making, acting hard to get this killing you've been given to me. I must be for all. Leah City burning like camera. Stamina. Blaze up your space, plus I got it on camera. Panama, animal, animator landing up. Low cleaning clocks, nothing left for the janitor. Punching through your granite, goodwill ambassador. From another planet, I could kill and smash you up. And it won't stop, and it can't stop, and it on. And I rock, and it does. Had enough amateur. Haramming up, feel the goat's horn slamming ya. Ham it up every single time that I'm standing up. Crowd of MCs backing up when I'm acting up. On a frenzy after ya, yelling that's enough. And it tempts me that it does, and I'm glad it does. And I flip C spatula style stacking up. Many victories, rappers are never catching up. Passing up, ride passenger. Is it blacking up? Spectacular. Now you know who's attacking ya. Cracking up, mash it up, mind capture all. I'm the.
President. Another great cut from the underappreciated 2002 record Blazing Arrow from Blackalicious. Continuing episode 216 of Media Monarchy, my friends, nearly 500 Taliban flee in a daring Afghan jailbreak, and our update is, of course, surprise, signs of inside job in Afghan jailbreak. Almost 500 Taliban fighters and commanders tunneled out of a prison in an audacious jailbreak in southern Afghanistan, which the government admitted on Monday was a security disaster.
A major prison breakout by Taliban fighters and high-ranking commanders from a jail in the southern city of Kandahar. And it's not the first time this has happened. These pictures show the aftermath of a breakout at the same jail in 2008. On that occasion, a suicide bomber blew a hole in the prison walls, freeing around 1,300 inmates. This time, the breakout seems to have been even better planned. A Taliban spokesman has told Al Jazeera that hundreds of fighters, including high-ranking commanders, made their getaway through a 350-meter tunnel. He said the escape plan has been 5 months in the making. Following the 2008 escape, US and NATO officials questioned just how much control Afghan security forces should have over their jails. There have long been security concerns over the level of freedom given by Afghan jail authorities to prisoners. After what seems to have been such a meticulously organized and successful breakout by hundreds of men deemed a serious threat, questions over the Afghan government's competence on security will no doubt come into sharp focus once again. Charles Stratford, Al Jazeera.
Qais Azimi is in the Afghan capital for us. Qais, I believe you've been speaking to some of those involved in this breakout. What have they been telling you?
Yeah, a short while ago, I could manage to speak with one of those prisoners that he claims that he is one of those ones that could manage to run away from this jail. And the detail that he was giving me that since 5 months, they start digging this tunnel. And he was saying that his shift was every night from 12 till 2 o'clock in the morning. And he claims that also some Afghan security forces for the jail were helping them. And now he claims that he's in a safe area and he could manage to run away from the jail.
And what do you know about those who have escaped, and what impact do you think that is likely to have on the war in Afghanistan?
I was talking with a police source in Kandahar province that he was a little bit upset, saying that we keep arresting those high official Taliban and then they could manage to run away. The Taliban spokesman told me earlier this morning that 100 of six of those ones that they could manage to run away are the top Taliban commanders. And also the new news line that we are getting from Taliban is a statement that in this statement, the new line that they are saying that it was pre-planned, and also they had a number of suicide bombers this morning near this jail, that if that the Afghan forces take any action that these suicide bombers were attacked the prison. And also I'm getting information from the police sources that this morning around 2 o'clock the police patrol were going to the area near the jail, and they saw some men that it looked suspicious to them, and they arrested them, and then they find out the 4 of those men are the prisoners that managed to run away from the jail, and then they went to the prison, and that's how they find out the jailbreak. Of course, it will have an impact not only in Kandahar province and south region of Afghanistan, because this jail was not only for Kandahar, it was for the south, for the provinces in the south, and also Afghan forces and NATO forces this year, they are focusing in the south of Afghanistan, and this summer is supposed to be one of the hottest summer, and they were expecting lots of fighting in this area, and if Taliban could manage to break this jail and take their fighter out of the jail, it is a success, a first success of this year for the Taliban.
Qais Azimi with an update from Kabul. Thanks, Qais.
Taliban in, Taliban out, head of the military to the head of the CIA, just keep the drugs flowing, boys. We've got Wall Street to run. Our other related geopolitical notes posted below this story about the daring Afghan jailbreak, color revolutions, and mystery gunmen. This is an excellent piece from Tony Cartolucci over on theintelhub.com, getting into the fact that when globalist color revolutions need results, they seem to deploy mystery gunmen. And we've seen it in Syria, and we've seen it in Thailand, and we may have already seen it in Libya and beyond. Our other geopolitical notes from last week, I believe we were reporting on this as it was escalating. So here's just one headline to put it into the record. 90 killed, 80 injured in Syrian clashes. But a blast from the past, thanks to WikiLeaks, Bush administration considered Pakistan's spy agency, that would be the CIA-connected ISI, a terrorist organization. But flash forward to the present, as Pakistan pushes Karzai to drop the U.S. as an ally and turn to China. Our last note comes from Don't Tread on Me. First David Rockefeller and now Superman. Globalist traitors. Superman renounces his American citizenship. In our remaining 15 minutes, I'll leave you to stew on that. We're going to shift to our remaining stories on cyberspacewar.com. As it's not all bad news, we still have to remember that it is a wonderful, beautiful world. On the morning of April 28th, so it's already happened, but we'll get more chances. Planetary conjunction. Planets party in the morning, April 28th. Oh, until May Day. More on that from Universe Today. And we also have a highlight video from the Solar Observatory. NASA released video to celebrate the first year of Solar Dynamic Observatory mission. It's a 5-year mission to explore new frontiers and boldly go where no spacecraft has gone before. This video contains solar flares coming soon to an area near you. Meanwhile, we also have the coming dates of the comet Elenin. And this story gives links to NASA and strictlyhonest.com and just Wikipedia breakdowns on the comet Elenin, named after amateur discoverer Leonid Elenin. But before we mention some of these upcoming dates, we'll remind you, and hopefully we mention this at some point and put it on the record, that last month, 3/11, or right before, Dutch Sense on YouTube reported on a video that suddenly disappeared from NASA's buzz room where the comet's calculated pass is believed very close, 40,000 miles. I believe this was the video then that led to the speculation of there's about to be an earthquake. Unless I'm confusing things. But Chile earthquake, February 27th, 2010, occurs during Elenin, Sun, and Earth alignment. The Christchurch, New Zealand earthquake, during the Elenin Sun Earth alignment, the Japan quake on 3/11 on yet another Elenin Sun and Earth alignment. So we see September 26th, Elenin Earth and Sun alignment. And then, wouldn't you know it, we see it around December 27th, 2012. So again, there are more videos and links for you to prepare for Elenin. But meanwhile, back in the cyber part of the space war, cybersecurity expert Ralph Langner reports his research into Stuxnet in a must-see video from a recent TED Talk, while an article on Washington's blog, "Could a Rogue Computer Virus Be Used to Shut Down Nuclear Plants Worldwide?" has gone viral. The real news is Langner's revelation that Stuxnet is generic, which implies its flexibility code can easily attack other industrial sites, not just nuclear plants. The ugly truth, quotes Langner's pointed comment, "You fail to understand that the hacker underground has been studying control systems for years without any success. You fail to understand that this community will eagerly dismantle Stuxnet as a blueprint for how to cyber attack installations from the cookie plant next door to power plants." And we've tied in the connections possible of Stuxnet and the Iranian situation and the speculation of even connections to Fukushima. Interesting astro-theological historical notes on Eridu, the world's first city, concerning the Anunnaki and links to a redicecreations.com article. If you would like to step through that Stargate, I implore you. I was really stoked to see that Alan in Omaha, posting on cyberspacewar.com, made a note about a show called X-1, Sci-Fi Radio Classics. You can download tons of those shows. Links there to archive.org and Wikipedia. There's also Radio Relics, or relicradio.com, that has a ton of what is commonly referred to as old-time radio, and I love it. Amazon says majority of cloud problems resolved after the crash. Lots of cloud problems. From Dow Jones, Amazon.com said it resolved a majority of the technical problems that plagued its web service business last week and prompted many websites to either crash or perform slowly. Amazon, which rents web services and storage to companies, we learned that in the recent anonymous WikiLeaks hack attacks, suffered from a glitch in one of its data centers that caused many companies to move to contingency plans as they waited for a full recovery. The company provided short status updates and yada yada, instance connectivity, latency, and error rates. Just as they were starting to pimp the idea of, hey, save all your music here. Hey, you don't have to keep it on your computer. Leave it in the cloud. And I believe it was on the little crawler on a recent Onion video, which, of course, you have to watch multiple times to get all of the amazing satire just flying under the radar. I believe one of the headlines in the crawler was, majority of Americans don't seem to understand that cloud computing means giving access to all of your private information to someone else. I'm butchering it poorly, but you get the idea. We move to the 428 DEF CON, the news purge of headlines on cyberspacewar.com as we take guilt trips down the surveillance highway, where Fire Dog Lake notes Obama on Manning, quote, "He broke the law." So much for that fair trial. Way to go, constitutional lawyer from Columbia University, making same mistakes other puppet presidents have made. Pentagon Papers whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg now says Bradley Manning can't get a fair trial after Obama's comment, "He broke the law." But further down the DEF CON, some FBI cyber agents lack adequate skills, report finds. Shock from FederalTimes.com. And here we go, continuing on the revelations of the fact that all the major technology telecom companies that we love and enjoy are, of course, spying on us constantly. TomTom apologizes for giving customer data to the cops so they can set up speed traps. That happened, I believe, in the Netherlands. More on that from the Register. Android data tied to users? Some say yes. That's from the always interesting and impressive work from Declan McCullough on CNET. Facebook looks to cash in on user data. That's from the Salt Lake Tribune. Apple says they must have, quote-unquote, comprehensive user location data on you, and of course you will comply. That's from ibtimes.com. Meanwhile, Sony says credit card data at risk in the recent PlayStation hack. More on that from USA Today, and on a side note, Sony unveils their iPad rival tablets. A fascinating note from Cryptogon.com that he begins with a reference to Snow Crash. A vast global online network of homeless people. The main article comes from ParentDish.com. And I'll let you stew on that as I drop this bomb on you. Miniature drones to drop tracking dust onto people. That would happen in the Air Force plan discussed on Danger Room. You may recall our guest Harry Sweeney of ProParanoidPress.com has done a lot of work on this smart dust, it is so called. But another great original piece from Cryptogon.com, the future where soda cans have screens. And it's a bit of a Luddite screed, but worthwhile nonetheless. LimeWire facing billion-dollar damages trial. More on that from Threat Level as ICE, that's the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and of course we've seen shutting down the websites that stream sports, shutting down the websites that do golf. We now have a propaganda blitz as ICE uses the seized domains for what Threat Level jokingly, I hope, calls the best anti-piracy video ever.
Free movies! I got free movies!
What do you mean?
These same movies you see in the theater, I got them on DVD, and they're free.
Free?
Free?
Free. I'll be honest, they're legally downloaded,
but they're free.
Yeah, okay, I'll take them.
Can I take two?
Sure, you can take two, but there's a catch. If you take these movies, this nice woman right here loses her job.
Yeah, I don't know her.
No.
Yeah, these are legally downloaded movies. Because of that, people like her are losing their jobs.
You're making this so literal. I mean, is this really...
Yeah, there's a consequence to all this stuff.
I'm going
to
take...
You are?
Yeah.
Why? Because you have no soul?
If I take this, she loses her job.
That's right. It's real.
I'm going to just take three. Just three.
You're what's wrong with everything. What's more important, the movie or this human being?
No, thank you.
See, you're a nice person. She's a nice person. She just didn't know. Now you know. Look, whether you get it off the streets or off the internet, digital piracy and product counterfeiting are not victimless crimes. The financial repercussions are huge. Show the world that piracy doesn't work. Do it.
As my girlfriend noted, it doesn't seem like the nice woman they show in the video is even holding her equipment correctly. But furthermore, down the cyberspace war, DEFCON, SpaceX aims to put a man on Mars in the next 10 to 20 years, and we reported last week on SpaceX and their Falcon Heavy. But meanwhile, SETI, that's the search for extraterrestrial entities or something like that, SETI Institute to shut down alien-seeking radio dishes. That's from the Mercury News. Meanwhile, an alpha magnetic spectrometer is going on the Endeavour shuttle. That is from the BBC. As well, this from the BBC, and I've made references to it, I believe, on the recent New World Next Week, as well as in my conversation with Tracy Twyman. Gabriel Giffords can attend husband's shuttle launch. U.S. Congresswoman Gabriel Giffords, who was shot in the head in January, has been declared fit enough to attend her husband's space shuttle launch. NASA astronaut Mark Kelly said his wife's reaction to the doctor's decision had been to pump her fist and say, "Awesome." Miss Giffords narrowly survived the shooting spree by gunman Jared Lee Loughner in Tucson, Arizona, that killed six people. Mr. Mark Kelly is the commander of the Endeavour, due to lift off on Friday. That's today, April 29th, just after the royal rituals as we reach Walpurgis and other occult ceremonies leading up to May Day and the beatification of Pope John Paul II. The last link on this, DEF CON list is just too Huffington Post where you can watch and all the links concerning the launch of the Endeavor. So the last note as well from Cyberspace War, getting into Loeffner and Giffords and some of the synchronicities and just all of those things swirling around that area that I now can't get into as time is quickly getting away from us. We'll make a note from holyhexes.com. Reaching out, the Pope may make the first call to space. The Pope may make a special call to the International Space Station during the upcoming flight of the Space Shuttle Endeavor. This according to a NASA official. My friends, may you live in interesting times. So hopefully the entire video, or rather audio, of my interview with Tracy Twyman from earlier this morning discussing the royal rituals will be out there. It's at the top of this episode. I implore you to get it and to check it out and to discern between distractions and real issues as we turn from that to the shuttle launch, to the beatification, to all of those things that we've discussed. As a Columbian enterprise to endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis, and all challengers shall be destroyed. This has been the 216th episode of Media Monarchy. It's April 29th, 2011. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, reminding you, as always, two things. Don't hate the media, become the media, and get active or get radioactive. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org, the New World Next Week video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether you went on with the diary, or whether you did not cooperate, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.